Father God, we do pray for this morning. We pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would come and minister to us, that we would find out more about your love and grace through the providence of your creation. And as we remember that you have given us all these things, we also remember our responsibility in your creation. Help us, Lord, to be focused on all that you have done and all that you are calling us to. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We'll have to excuse me, I've got a little bit of a frog in the throat. We're going to be thinking about the generosity of God and delegation. And it sounds like a bit of a funny old sort of topic to be talking about, but I want us to think about it a little bit. And, you know, how God, you know, as we heard in the Genesis account, how God creates everything and he goes, do you know what? I'm going to give you guys responsibility for it. I'm going to give you something of a stewardship. And I like to think of the word stewardship when I'm talking about this as well, because I think it's important. As I shared with this morning's group, I always am humbled when I walk into the church and I look at the backboard and I see my predecessors going back to 1218 in this space, in this place. So there's kind of a sense of stewardship here. And I want to pass this on to the next generation. And we've got to be thinking about that. So God delegates to us, but in equal measure, we are called to then delegate on to the next generation and so on. And I want to start with this question. How many people here have ever been, you don't have to put your hand up, but you can if you want. How many people have been micromanaged in their past? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I've had both sides. I've had micromanaging and macromanagement. I don't know whether that's actually a word, but I made it up now. And here's a little cartoon to kind of illustrate that. That how does it make you feel when you've been micromanaged? What does happen to you, your confidence and who you are inside? What happens when people are there going, you need to do that, you need to do that, you need to do that, you need to do that. And they're always there bugging you about something. I'm going to suggest it comes from a deep insecurity. And I want to do two things for us. I want us not to be micromanagers of God's commission. I want us to be generous in the giving of that work. But I also want to challenge you to say, is there times when you've thought, actually, that's not worshiping God the way I want? And think about that, because that's micromanagement to some extent. The way we worship, I'm going to say, is from here, the heart. It starts from inside and works its way out. And that's what real worship to me feels like. But interesting enough, the cycle of micromanagement, it's management terms, and I've got probably people who are more expert in this field than I am, but it goes, I'm going to paraphrase that cycle. Basically, it goes something like this. Somebody comes with an insecurity and goes, I'm going to make sure this team works, functions well, because in their insecurity, they want to manage it and they want to make sure it's perfect, just spot on and absolutely right. And in their insecurity, they then start looking at everybody who's doing a job and I wouldn't do the job like that. I would do it like this. And they go there and they tell the people, no, you're doing it all wrong. You need to do it like this because that's the best way. Because I'm convinced that's what I know and that's what I feel secure in. And so what happens is those people then get disempowered. Basically, they say, do you know what? If you're going to tell me what to do, I'm not going to be really too fussed about working hard. I'm not going to be too fussed about innovation. I'm not going to be too fussed about actually doing my job properly, because you're just going to say it's being done wrong. And so micromanagement works like that. And then it comes out, the other people feel disempowered. So what do? They don't do their job properly. And then the manager says, see, look at that. I told you my way's the best way because everybody's not doing their job properly. So therefore, I'm going to double down on my micromanagement and make people do things the way more I have. And their insecurity gets greater. The team does have no innovation. And suddenly, you're in the cycle, if you like, of this micromanagement issue. And I know I've been caught in that trap. And I'm going to put it out there. I hate micromanagement. Louise can testify to that. If anybody tries to tell me what to do, I'm often going to do the opposite because that's my nature. So please, it's nothing personal, but it's just the way I operate sometimes. And Louise has had to put up with that sometimes as well. And sometimes Louise is right, but not all the time. but this is the other thing. So the delegation loop works slightly different. It starts from a point of security and trust and moves on and says, I'll tell you what, I want you to do the job. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. This is the task. Over to you. And I think that's such a healthier way, because actually from that people can be innovative and think about things. And, you know, I said in the first service, I hope Newton doesn't feel like I micromanage him. I don't know, Newton, do I? Oh, good. That's all right. It was a nervous moment there, but no, I try not to micromanage, because Newton is capable on his own to be able to do some really amazing things. And he'll do things subtly different from the way I do things. But that's actually really good. Not bad. I had a lovely illustration of this, of the power of the church coming together. We had a lot of people who just brought food on yesterday for our Holy Spirit Day. And it was just a wonderful illustration of the church. People just brought along food, and it was all sorts of different food, and it was wonderful. If everybody brought along chicken wings, right, we'd all just be eating chicken wings. But we didn't. We had spring rolls. We had tiramisu, which is my favorite, by the way. Oh, there's other things as well. Other puddings do apply, baked cheesecake, I think is a good one as well. But anyhow, and all sorts of other amazing foods. We had sandwiches, we had, you know, cakes, we had amazing fruit skewers and all sorts of things that came along, cheeses, and it was wonderful. And it wasn't micromanaged, but it just happened. And I think that's an illustration of the church. We don't need to micromanage other people. We don't need to worry about what other people are doing. We need to worry about where our heart is at, and we need to then go from there and move forward. God's delegated you something. Take that responsibility and fly with it, rather than looking at everybody else and going, they should be doing this, they should be doing that, they should be doing this. By the way, that's terrible the way they're doing that. That's not how God works. He's given us all a task. And here's the beautiful thing. If you want to say, God's generosity is shown not just in blessing, but in sharing his work. It's kind of hard. What he's doing is he's saying, I want to make you so secure in who I am and who you are. Yesterday we spoke about it, being the children of God. You are my children. Every single one of them, God is saying that to you. He's saying, you're my children. I love you. I want to give you something to do. Because I'm going to be honest, if you're sitting down doing nothing, it's hard work, ironically, because it's not sitting right with us. God has delegated stuff to us. And the beautiful thing is each one here is an individual and got different skills and talents, but that's okay, because that's what God did. Because if we all had chicken wings, it would be rather boring. I'm not saying anybody here's got chicken wings, by the way. And so we think about what God did in creation, and here's what he says. He gives humanity power. He takes away the power that he could have on the earth, and he says, I'm going to get you to rule over. I'm going to get you to look after. I'm going to get you to be stewards, if you like, of my creation. I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm not going to micromanage you in some of that. Crack on with it. I'll hold everything together when you make mistakes, and I'll pull everything together for you. As we sung in one of the songs, that all creation is held through God's Spirit. He says, in your space, in your time, I'm going to give it to you. Have a go. I'll be there like a good daddy will be, but right now, I'm going to give it to you. He gave us purpose in life as well. He gave us a reality of purpose. He didn't say, by the way, just sit down, do nothing. I've sorted out for you. Don't worry about it. God said, I want you to do something. He's called every single person. It's funny, isn't it? Because everybody thinks it's the minister at the front who's been called. That's the wrong answer. Everybody in this church has been called. Why? Because God calls everyone. And he shows grace and patience with us. And there's two ways we can go with that purpose. We can go, do you know what? I don't know if the church can handle me. I don't know, I might be a bit too bold for them. I might be a bit too scary for them. Well, come and talk to me and we'll talk about that one. But I think most people think this, I have nothing to offer. But you do. You have something to offer. You have something to give. God has given you individual gifts and skills, things that are different from what I can do, from what Newton can do, from what Louise can do. And he's called us to be together in this crazy thing called a church. And that's the beautiful thing about it. And then the other thing he said is, I don't want you to do it by yourself. He's called us into, but let them. It's a plurality. We are together in this. We are one church under one God through the power of Christ. And so that's really important to understand. It's not that we are called to be in isolation by ourselves. We are called to be partners with one another. And that's a really important thing to understand, because we see Jesus model this beautifully when he talks to people. He sends out people to do stuff. He does a little bit of, okay, don't go with anything. He doesn't give them exactly what to say, but he says, go out, share the news. And in John 20, just as he comes back, and we're remembering Jesus' resurrection as well over this Easter period, again, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am also sending you. What does Jesus mean? He doesn't say to go out and look after creation. He goes, go out and share my news. He says, go out and talk to other people and tell them about me, because that's my commission for you as a church. Matthew 28 as well says, therefore go out to the nations, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is our challenge as a church. It's to fulfill the great commission that Jesus has given us. And think about it in this moment. These are people hiding in a room, scared of what's happened. They're fearful of their future. And they're kind of in a bit of shock because Jesus has come back. And also, they betrayed Jesus a little bit. They ran away when his hour was greatest. Peter particularly denies him 3 times. But Jesus still comes to them and says, I'm sending you. And I'm sure they must have looked around each other and gone, him, me, them, what good are they going to do? How can 12 people or 11 people in a room make a difference to the world? And it might be that we look around the church and we go, well, there's not many of us. How can we make a difference? And I'll share with you this. Because Jesus doesn't go, by the way, I'll leave you right there. He says later on in that same passage, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be upon you. I'm going to bring the Spirit in, and it's going to be the glue that holds the church together. More than that, it's going to give you the words to say. It's going to enable you and empower you for your gifts to be built on supercharge. You think you're gifted now, you might be able to talk a little bit, but with the power of my Spirit, I'm going to turbo boost it. And that is what Jesus promises. He's not going to leave them alone. It's not micromanagement. It's just enhancing the gifts that they already have, bringing them out. Peter speaking to people on Pentecostal day. You know, this is a fisherman who's been rough and ready and denied Jesus. Suddenly makes the most amazing proclamation in Acts that you could probably ever hear about Jesus. That is the power of the Spirit in the church. Like yesterday, we spoke about the Holy Spirit and its power. And so from that, it means that we have a message of hope, joy, peace. We love humanity. Why? Because it is created in God's image. Parts of it are broken, absolutely. But we are called to love it because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We mirror what Jesus did. We won't do it perfectly like he did. We'll do it in our different and own unique way. Absolutely. It's not about him micromanaging us. He's given us that commission. Go. What it looks like for each individual in this church is going to be very different. But what Jesus calls is the very heart of us. He says, therefore, and in Romans 12, it says this, therefore, live your life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. We are called to live our life holy and pleasing to God. And you might think, my goodness, my life's in a mess. It's when you open up to God. Open up, be honest with him. As the psalmists were, they were honest about their positions, but they came to a conclusion in the end that God was a good God and he wanted good gifts for us. Be open to receiving God's gifts through the power of his Holy Spirit and allow them to be supercharged by God for his glory, that you can be good stewards of what God has given us today. So what are some of the applications? Everyone here is made good enough by God. Hear that, because it's important to understand that. You might think you're so far away from God, or you've messed up so many times in your life that there's no possibility that God can use you. The answer is He can. He's got that power. He's got that transformation power. He's got that grace. And even if you feel absolutely broken, even in that, somehow He can use us. It's gobsmacking what God can do in the power of His Spirit. We are also called to look around our church and encourage and empower others. We don't go, by the way, you're doing all that wrong. We don't lay on people our expectations of what Christianity is, because that can be dangerous and hurt. You know, I said to this morning to the traditional worshippers, just because we worship traditionally doesn't make our worship any better than anybody else's. God's looking at your heart, looking at what you think here. How are you responding to God's word? How are you living your life differently from the way you used to? Living sacrifice is what God has called us to be. So hold on to that remembrance. And then as we look around the church, we go, do you know what? I love the way you did that. I thought it was great. It really helped me. Do you know what? You guys are brilliant at craft and just bringing God's word to life in what I see. And when you did this, it was amazing. It's not disingenuous praise. But genuinely, when we see things that are good, we're rather British about it. And I include New Zealanders in that lump of people. We kind of rather stiffer upper lip and kind of go, yes, that was rather good. Thank you very much. Do come again. But instead, maybe empowering others could be complimentary. It could be giving them the space to grow as well. Sometimes we don't want to crowd in and go, by the way, I do it like this and you need to do it like that. And therefore, give them space to grow. Give them the task, step back and see what happens. And actually, they might surprise you by the end of it and go, I never would have done it like that, but that's pretty good. Trust that God is in work in them, not just in you. And the other thing is this, step into the mission. Go forward. Jesus has called us to go. Therefore, go and make disciples of nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's calling all of us. Not just the people who stand at the front, not just the people who do the work in the background, but every single person in this church. He said, I want you to go. And that doesn't mean you leave this church and never come back. Well, actually, you know, if church is empty next week because you're out on mission, I won't complain. But God has said, okay, but come back in community and praise and worship me, but then go out into mission. Step into it. And why? Not because it's a command or not because it's a guilt offering, but because I love you and I want you to fulfill your purpose as a person. It's not about guilt. This is the thing that is so key to understand as well. It's not about feeling me guilting you into saying, well, you should be doing far more because God has done all this for you. Not at all. It's a response to God's grace in His creation. We look at what's created. I mean, right now the sun's shining through there, and you know, it's just beautiful. And I look out there and I see the trees and the leaves, and they're coming out, and it's a beautiful time of year when the greenery is so green. And then the change of the season. I don't like winter so much, but there's another story. But it's sometimes from that point of knowing who God is, knowing that you are loved, that place of security that you can go out and step into mission. And there you see it. We're not just saved, we're sent. Amen. And here's the end of that passage I was talking about when Jesus comes in and interrupts the disciples. You know, Thomas is not there. Thomas has to come back and he has to poke his fingers to see and experience Jesus' real resurrection and trust that he's still there. Even after that, Jesus says this, because you have seen and have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. We haven't seen the resurrection. We haven't encountered Jesus firsthand in the first century of Jerusalem. So we have to go on faith. You are blessed. Jesus promised that. So he's going to empower you. He's going to give you the freedom to be able to do the things that you're called to do. He's going to give you those things. And sometimes it may be messy. Sometimes it might be not what you thought the things were going to be. You certainly, they weren't the plans that you had for your life. But God can interrupt them and put us in the right direction, not because he's micromanaging, but because he loves. He's the Father who loves and gives graciously. You're his children. Our job is to trust the Father because he provides for every need. That means we look at our resources and the way we use them. It means we look at our time and the way we use them. And if we want to give glory to God, what do we do with those things? How does that look in our lives? How does that change who we are fundamentally and the way we move forward? I've been challenged by those thoughts myself as I think about lots of things that are going on in our life at the moment. But I have to hold on to this image. God is there waiting, going, Cain, I love you. You are my son, and I love you. He's saying the same thing. I want you to hear that first, and then go and tell other people, because this is really good news, and it needs to be shared now. God bless you all. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that we are your children, and you've made that possible through the adoption of your son, Jesus Christ. I pray that we may never take that for granted, but I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit on this church to be poured out, that we may use those things for mission. And as we do, Lord, that we would grow trusting you more, knowing that we can step out in faith, and that you will be there to lift us when we need it, but also you will give us the space to grow as people. We pray that we would be patient with one another as we work this out together. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.